The blessing from Rabbul Alameen. The blessing from Rabbul Alameen. Islam is the way of life. Islam is the way of life.
Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. والصلاة والسلام على سيد المرسلين أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الصلاة والسلام عليك يا رسول الله وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا حبيب الله الصلاة والسلام عليك يا نبي الله وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا نور الله Dearest Madani Channel viewers, welcome back again to our silsila, to our wonderful program in which we're trying to learn and listen to the discourse regarding hukuk, which are known as hukuk, the rights that we need to understand, the rights that we owe to Almighty Allah Azza wa Jal, the rights that are owed to Rasul Sallallahu Ta'ala Alayhi wa Sallam, the rights that we need to fulfill in as far as the Sahaba Ridwanullahi Ta'ala Alayhi Majma'in, the Ahli Bayt are concerned, the rights with regards to knowing what are the rights that we owe to Awliya Allah Azza wa Jal. And today we discussing and we carrying on with our silsila. Now we are on part two of our silsila, Hukuk, the rights. So in our first episode, in the part one, we discussed hukukullah. We're still carrying on in the part two in with hukukullah. But today, we more focus on trying to understand. Since we learned in the first episode that in order for us to understand the rights of Allah, we need to have the fear of Allah. And we learned in the previous silsila that as well that Allah Azza wa Jal did not just place us in this dunya for no reason. And that also those people that are not, naturally we look at them, those people that are non-Muslims, people that are of other religions, naturally they're also born as Muslims, but it is the culture, etc., that changes the nature of their beliefs. So before we carry on in our, with our silsila, let us try to pay attention and hear the excellence of reciting Durood Sharif upon our beloved Rasul Sallallahu Ta'ala Alayhi Wasallam, who sends Durood Sharif just one time in the court of Nabi Sallallahu Ta'ala Alayhi Wasallam. What is the reward? What is the excellence? What is the virtue that he gets from it? Almighty Allah Azza wa Jal will also reward him 10 times thereof as well. Sallu ala al-habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam. Now carry on further. It is important and it is vital for us to know also that whenever a lesson is taking place, a dars, most importantly with regard to the lessons regarding the matters of deen, regarding that which will purify our souls, regarding the sacred knowledge of Nabi sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam, which we're going to learn, it is important for us to have correct niyat, correct intentions. As our beloved Aqa Rasulullah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam stated, niyatul mu'min khayrun min amalihi, that the niyat of a believer is better than his own action. So let us make good intentions that whatever we're going to learn from this dars, from this discourse, whatever we're going to learn from this silsila, insha'Allah we make firm niyat that insha'Allah we will try to practice upon it to the best of our ability, as well as that we will insha'Allah, by the grace of Allah Azza wa Jal, we will try to pass it on to others. As Almighty Allah Azza wa Jalla stated in the glorious Quran, that call to us the path of your Lord with sound planning and good advice. And also, our beloved Master Rasulullah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam, he said, بَلِّغُوا عَنِّي وَلَوْ آيَةٌ. Convey from me, even if a person knows just a single verse. So what is the correct niyat to have? The niyat is that inshallah I will listen to this bayan attentively and I will try to practice upon what I learn, and I'm making niyat as well, intentions that I will try to pass it on to others as per the hadith instruction of our beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And I myself also make niyat that inshallah I first and foremost make correct niyat that the discourse that I'm giving, the silsila, the discourse that we are all sharing together, I humbly make intention, a firm intention, that I will try to act upon it, and that inshallah, whatever I recite, be it in Arabic or English, the words and etc., my attention and sincerity of my heart is for the pleasure of Allah Azza wa Jal. And I also encourage you at home that Alhamdulillah Azza wa Jal, the purpose of Dawat Islami is to bring back that revolution, that Madani revolution as it's called in the terminology of Dawat Islami, to bring back that glorious Islam that was in the time of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in Medina. Hence you hear every time now and then, everything in Dawat Islam, it is always attached, and it has that beautiful fragrance that they attach it to the environment of Medina, to the environment of our beloved Nabi sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam. So inshallah, I encourage you that you at home, especially our main folk, that I myself also make niyat that I will travel with the Madani Qafila. This is the purpose of why we are having this silsila and discourse, to encourage one another towards goodness and righteousness. That also, very, very important, individually, myself and you as well, Madani channel viewers, that we try to act upon the Madani Na'amat, so that inshallah, in our surroundings, in our areas, it becomes a surrounding, an environment full of righteousness, and coming forward, inshallah, to have an environment of Medina in our areas, inshallah. So let us make good intentions. When we hear the name of Almighty Allah Azza wa Jalla being praised, you also at home, inshallah, try to mention the name of Almighty Allah Azza wa Jalla with respect by saying Azza wa Jal, Subhanallah, etc. And if you hear the encouragement to send Durood Sharif upon our beloved Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, you also at home, inshallah, try to send Durood Sharif upon our beloved Master Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And if you hear the matters concerning where we should seek the forgiveness of Allah, where we need to make tawbah by saying tubu ilallah, you also make istighfar, seeking the forgiveness of Almighty Allah Azza wa Jal. Sallu ala al-Habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam. We are discussing about the hukuk, the various rights that we owe to Almighty Allah Azza wa Jal, the rights that we owe to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, to the Sahaba ridwanullahi alayhim ajma'in, Ahli Bayt, Awliya Allah Azza wa Jal, our parents, our elders, etc., etc. This is the purpose of this silsila. So today we are focusing now. We have heard that the first right that we owe to Almighty Allah Azza wa Jal, it is to have first and foremost iman in the belief of oneness of Almighty Allah Azza wa Jal. And that also with this iman, we need to understand why Allah Azza wa Jal has created us. What is the purpose of this life in this dunya? So we say the key to this is the fear of Allah, which Allah has mentioned in the Quran, that ya ayyuhal ladhina amanu taqullah haqqa tuqatihi wa la tamutunna illa wa antum muslimun. O you who believe, fear Allah Azza wa Jal as he ought to be feared, or as it is the right of Almighty Allah Azza wa Jalla to be feared. And do not die except that you have fulfilled this obligation, that you yourself, you die only on the millat of our Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that you die with iman. May Almighty Allah Azza wa Jalla enable all of us inshallah, that we will inshallah, through the grace and favor of Allah Azza wa Jal and the wasila of our Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, we die with iman. Ameen. Ijahin Nabi al-Ameen wa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So we come now, we want to try and understand this word now, which is fear of Almighty Allah Azza wa Jal. Or rather, in general, we're going to look at all the different words that denotes fear. What is it? Because some people, they think when you talk about the word fear, it is merely to enable a person or to subject one to certain fears which has no meaning in life, or certain fears just to fear somebody, or because you have to have the fear of the repercussion that you're going to get if you don't have developed this fear, or the consequence that you'll face. But the fear of Allah is not as such. So today let us try and learn and understand. Arabic has a considerable amount of words to describe fear, each with a different detail and connotation. The Quran alone has more than 10 words of fear. Here's a brief analysis of some of the words used in the Quran for fear. So since in this discourse, this is part two of our silsila, of our series, Hukuk, and we, in the part one, we begin by understanding what is the Hukuk of Allah. And we're still carrying on with the Hukuk of Allah, but today we're focusing on understanding. We say, as we mentioned in the first episode, that in order for us to have or to fulfill this obligation that Allah has placed on us, which is to worship Allah, first of all and foremost, which is to have the correct iman according to Ahlu Sunnah wal Jama'ah, to have the correct tawheed, and as well as that after you have this iman, you must develop the fear of Allah, so that you can fulfill this obligation, which is the first right of Allah Azza wa Jal. So we're trying to understand, what is this fear? What does it mean? So khawf is a perceived danger and fear of something that is physical. In Arabic, khawf, it is a perceived danger and fear of something that is physical. Khawf is the type of fear you feel, for example, if a dog began to chase you. That sensation that you feel because you are afraid the harm that might be caused by this. So that is fear. So what does Allah Azza wa Jalla says with regard to the word khawf?
وَأَمَّا مَنْ خَافَ مَقَامَ رَبِّهِ وَنَهَى النَّفْسَ عَنِ الْهَوَى.
But as for him who feared khawf, standing before his Lord, and he restrained himself from impure evil desires and lust. So the believer has a fear of something that is manifest and real. So the word khawf, since it also denotes fear, we're looking at all the various words that are used in the Quran to denote fear or to describe what is fear. So as we have started with the word khawf, Allah himself has used this word khawf. In many a times in our conversations, we hear about this word, that khawf, have the khawf of Allah, have the khawf of fear of Allah. So Allah Azza wa Jal, as we have had just now, that, but as for him who fear, or who feared, standing before his Lord, and restrain himself from, وَنَهَا النَّفْسَ عَنِ الْهَوَىٰ, He restrained himself from impure evil desires and lust because of the development of fear in his heart. So this we come to know, that the believer has a fear of something that is manifest and real, which is captured in this ayat by the use of the word khawf. Allah Azza wa Jal did not say in this ayat that the person fears their Lord, but fears the standing before his Lord. So that alone that standing in the court of Allah,
and as a result of this fear,
he protected himself from lusts and desires. Now, in the same manner, if we look at ourselves in this world, when a person knows he is in trouble with the law, he has broken the law, or perhaps somebody has sued him, or perhaps something has happened, and as a result, the courts have summoned him to come and stand in the court and answer for this offense that might have been committed. Imagine the fear that a person develops. One begins to call many people that he know, or a person goes to a lawyer, somebody that can save him from this standing or from this particular fear that comes as a result of having to know that I'll have to be answerable to a certain offense that I've committed, and I'm going to stand in front of a judge. It arouses the fear. It brings emotions that a person now is afraid of that particular action that is going to take place, that he's going to have to face the consequence of the offense that he has committed. Now imagine the consequence of having to stand in front of Allah. So this ayat, in the usage of the word khawf, Allah is telling us, Allah is teaching us, and Allah is warning us that imagine the person now who has truly developed fear of Allah is the one that he fears the standing that is going to take place when he's going to have to answer in the court of Almighty Allah Azza wa Jal. Now, because he has developed this fear, because Allah mentions, وَأَمَّا مَنْ خَافَ, who feared. Now, what is the result? The person will ensure that whatever it is, whatever else, that will lead him to have to face the consequence of being answerable to the action that he has done, which will bring in either in his receiving punishment, then the person ensures that he prevents himself from doing such actions that will bring him forward to be ushered in a court of Allah Azza wa Jal. So like in the same manner in this world, we will try to avoid to commit offenses, to commit crime, or to find ourselves in such predicament where we end up being in trouble, and that will lead us to face the court or to face the law. So we avoid that. So similarly, Allah Azza wa Jalla tells us so that the key to fulfill the obligation or the right of Allah Azza wa Jalla is that ensure that fear that day that you're going to stand in front of Allah, and Allah Azza wa Jalla has used the word khawf. Sallu ala al-habib, sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad, sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam. Now on the other hand, Allah Azza wa Jalla says about the disbeliever, like in this world, we find criminals, we find those who break the laws of the country, those who have committed offenses, they have this total disregard. They are not careful with regard to obeying the certain laws of the country, the laws of the government, so they end up getting in trouble. But the one who ensures that he don't want to get in trouble with the law, he don't want to get in trouble by committing an offense, he avoids it. So Allah Azza wa Jalla says, those who do not have khawf, why they do not have that khawf? What enables them not to have the khawf? In which, as a result, it brings them to such a predicament whereby they end up not fulfilling the right of Allah. Allah Azza wa Jalla says, لَا يَخَافُونَ الْآخِرَةِ, they do not fear. They have removed that khawf of the hereafter. So Allah Azza wa Jalla tells us, those that have actually removed khawf in them, in the like manner, that's why they can't fulfill the obligation, the right of Almighty Allah Azza wa Jalla. Allah Azza wa Jalla says, الَّذِي أَطْعَمَهُمْ مِنْ جُوعٍ وَآمَنَهُمْ مِنْ خَوْفٍ, he who has fed them against hunger
and it made them safe from fear. So again, the word khawf appears. So we understand that as well. Allah Azza wa Jal has used the word fear, khawf, in order to establish to us to understand that this is the key. If you want to establish the rights of Allah Azza wa Jal, is to have this fear. Now, rounding up of all the points that we have discussed in today's silsila, which is part two, we were discussing that we pay particular attention to understand that Allah Azza wa Jalla has created us in this dunya, and He has placed us in this dunya, and He has given us an obligation, and this obligation is that we fulfill His right. And what is the first right? The first right is to have right iman, correct iman, in the oneness of Allah Azza wa Jal. In all the elements of iman that we need to have with regard to understand Allah Azza wa Jal. Now, after having understood that, we need to understand why Allah has placed us on this dunya. He placed that for an obligation, that is to worship Him. And to worship Allah Azza wa Jal, what do you need? What is a tool? The tool to this is to have the fear of Allah. So the fear of Allah in itself is the one that brings us to understand the fulfillment of the obligation of fulfilling the right of Allah, or to understand why we should fulfill the right of Allah. So we are looking at words that describe the fear of Allah. Inshallah, in our next silsila, I hope you join us as well. We are carrying on, inshallah, describing and establishing and understanding what does fear mean. We given the meaning of fear in English, what it means, and try and understand why we should have fear. And we're looking at the words that have been used in the Quran. Perhaps we might not discuss all the words, but we look at the particular common words that are normally used by people, or that we often hear around us, so that we understand. What does this fear mean? Many people don't understand. They think that to just have fear of Allah is that Allah must just be feared for no reason, just because Allah Azza wa Jal, He is our creator. But that's not the case. Inshallah, as we carry on further and as we go along with the silsila, we will inshallah in the end understand what it means and why we have to develop this fear, and what is the result of it when we have the fear, and what does it mean in our lives, what changes does it bring in our life, and in as far as our relationship with Allah and understanding the right of Almighty Allah Azza wa Jal. Sallu ala al-Habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam.
The blessing from Rabbul Alameen. The blessing from Rabbul Alameen.